today. We are going after this briefing. We are going to have another briefing on the information regulator, and we will also be briefed about the process for the inquiry on Advocate Jiba and Mukwebe. So the Parliamentary Legal Services will also be briefing us. So I am really appealing to members without censoring the members. You can be as detailed as you like, but let's try and be mindful of the time constraints. Let's be mindful of the time constraints that we have. Also, a very good morning to members of the press. I would I would also like to welcome the Deputy Minister, who is just coming to observe and to give support to the Office of the Chief Justice, which we think is a very good thing. But he will the Office of the Chief Justice, also the Chief Justice. SG, if you can introduce your team, maybe before you do that, because we are all new, let's start by introducing ourselves to you. I am Bulilani Makwanisha. I'm the chair of the committee, member of the ANC from Gauteng.
Kobutile Richard Janji, ANC, member of this committee, VESCAP.
Mama Temba Masiko Chele, member of the ANC, from Gauteng.
Jacqueline Mufuke, member of the committee, Gauteng, ANC.
Hisham Mohamed, member of this committee, representing the African National Congress from the Western Cape.
I'm Clarence Breidenbach, I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, I'm Werner Rohn, I'm from the DA.
Over to you, Esther.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister for the Department of Justice and Correctional Services. Honourable members, I will start by introducing the team, starting with myself. I'm Mem Messager Singwe, Secretary General for the Office of the Chief Justice, National Department. Next to me on my right is Mr. Nathi Ncube. He is the Chief Director responsible for Court Administration and also the spokesperson for the judiciary. And next to her is Ms. Tebogo Mashifane, the Director for Administration in my office. On my left is the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Kasi Kutzer. And next to her is Ms. Ellen Nechiozwi. She is the Director responsible for Strategy and Planning in the OCG. And that constitutes the team today. I apologize for Dr. Humulimo Moshweu. She was not able to make it today. She is the CEO, DDG, responsible for South African Judicial Education Institute support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before we proceed, we have the following apologies. Apology from Member Mulaudi. And Member Swart, they are running late. And Advocate Beidenbach has asked to be released at 10:30 for another meeting.
I'm also apologizing on behalf of Mr. Self, he's not here today.
Okay.
Thank you.
So So those are the apologies. SG.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. We will present to the committee the annual performance plan for the Department of the National Department Office of the Chief Justice for the 2019-20. The first slide deals with the presentation outline, which outlines the purpose of the presentation, then the introduction, the consultation process on the APP, the mandate of the OCJ, the legislative requirements and prescripts for planning, the mission, vision and values of the department, the strategic goals, the contribution or how the APP contributes to the NDP and the MTSS, the budget program structure, and then we'll outline the programs and the sub-programs plans in terms of the three programs, administration, two superior court services, and three judicial education and support. Then we will cover the 2019-20 financial information, as well as the 2019-20 key strategic risks, and lastly, the delineation of the judicial functions, the indicators and targets. I'll skip this next slide because it's already obvious the purpose of the presentation is to present the APP 1920 to this honorable committee. Introduction. The 2019 financial year marks the fifth and final year of the first strategic plan of the OCJ, which ran from the year 2015-16 up to 2019. So this is the last APP of our first SP. We'll therefore embark on a process to develop the new strategic plan for the 2020-2021 to 2024-25 period, the 5 year which links to the new MTSF, Medium-Term Strategic Framework, that will be developed by the Department of Monitoring, Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation after the obviously post the 2019 elections, which will also be the implementation of the NDP plan. The APP is being presented, therefore, as the last APP of our strategic plan, is already indicated. The next slide deals with the consultation process. In developing the APP, we complied in terms of ensuring that the DPME and National Treasury are consulted, and the first draft was submitted to DPME in August and November as required by the planning framework, and all inputs have been integrated. In terms of the Auditor General, the draft was pre-audited by the AG in January, and all issues that the Auditor General raised were addressed. The Audit and Risk Committee of the OCJ was also engaged with the APP in January. Also, their inputs integrated. Lastly, the judiciary through the Heads of Court, which is the Committee of Judges Presidents, chaired by the Chief Justice. Their subcommittee was of judicial oversight was also consulted on behalf of the judiciary, and their inputs were also integrated before finalization. The next slide, we deal with the mandate of the OCJ in brief. The mandate is to support the Chief Justice in executing the administrative and judicial powers and duties as head of the judicial branch of the state, as well as the head of court, as determined, which were determined by the Minister of Public Service and Administration, MPSA, in 2010, when the department was proclaimed by the President in 2010. And the functions that were determined by the MPSA were to provide and coordinate legal and administrative support to the Chief Justice, providing communication and relationship management services, and intergovernmental and international coordination to develop court administration policies, norms and standards, and development of judicial policy norms and standards. And these functions were approved as part of by cabinet decision of the 18th of 2014, determined by the MPSA in 2015. As to support the judicial function of the superior court, the JSC, in the execution is mandate, the Judicial Education Institute, as well as the administering of the judges' remuneration and conditions of service. next slide deals with the legislative requirements and prescripts for planning and reporting. Section 92, subsection 2 and 3 of the Constitution, the Treasurer's Regulation 5, in terms of the PFMA, the Public Service Regulations, section 25, the National Treasury Framework for Strategic Plans and Annual Performance Plan of 2010, as well as the Framework for Managing Program Performance of 2007. These are the prescripts in terms of which the plans of the department and the broader government should comply with, which we were done. The next slide deals with the vision, mission, and values. The vision of the department is a single, transformed, independent judicial system that guarantees access to justice for all. The mission is to provide support to the judicial system to ensure effective and efficient court administration services. And the values, respect for and protection of the Constitution, honesty and integrity, openness and transparency, professionalism and efficiency. The strategic goals, the department delivers its mandate through three strategic goals. Strategic outcome-oriented goals, and we'll link them here to each program as defined in the program structure approved by Treasury. The first goal is to ensure is the effective and efficient and effective administration of the OCJA, which is ensuring that the administration of the OCJA provides optimal support to the judiciary, and that we execute through Program 1 mainly. The second strategic goal is improved administrative and technical support to the judiciary. And this goal we are pursuing to enable the judiciary to deliver on its mandate in terms of the Constitution and provide administrative and technical support, which includes judicial training, administrative and secretariat support to the Judicial Service Commission, as well as administering the judges' justiciable interest and judges' remuneration and conditions of service. And this we execute through Program 2 and 3, which is courts, Superior Court Services and Judicial Education and Judicial Support Services. The last strategic goal is to ensure the administration support to the Superior Courts, and this is where we provides the administrative and technical support to the administration of superior courts in terms of their efficiency and effectiveness to support the adjudication of cases. And this we provide through Program 2. The next slide talks to how we contribute as a department to the National Development Plan. We contribute to the NDP, as you would see in Chapter 14 of the NDP, promoting accountability, fighting corruption through strengthening the judicial governance and rule of law. And in Chapter 4, the key focus areas that contribute to is accelerating reforms to implement judicially-led court administration, which is a matter in the hands of the executive and the judiciary have made their contribution. Ensuring an efficient court system, reducing court administration efficiencies, access to justice ensured, and judicial accountability ensured, and providing judicial education through the Institute. We also contribute to Chapter 13 of the NDP through implementing the following objectives, which is Chapter 13 relating to the building of a capable state. Contribution is through our Strategic Objective 1 and 2, the first being capacitating the OCJ to be able to deliver, and 2, ensuring good governance in the administration of the department. Contribution to the MTSF. We contribute to Outcome 12 of the MTSF, which relates to the efficient and effective development of the development-oriented public service. The indicators and targets relating to this outcome are included in our Program 1 and 3. We also contribute to Outcome 3 of the MTSF. All people in South Africa are and feel safe, and the sub-program on efficient and effective criminal justice system, indicators relating to that, are in Program 2. The next slide deals with the budget program structure as approved by National Treasury. We operate through three programs, as already indicated before. The first is the administration, with a purpose to ensure strategic leadership and to manage the support services to the department. The second program, Superior Court Administration Services to the Court Administration Services to the Superior Court. And the last, Judicial Education and Judicial Support, which relates to continuous judicial education policy development, as well as the services for the optimal administration of justice. These are the three programs through which we support the three main institutes that the OCJ supports, which is the courts, the JSC, and the institute. We move now to the sub-programs, the programs, and outline their purpose as well as the indicators and targets that we set for the year. The first program, administration, the purpose is indicated to provide leadership, management, and support services. We do that through five sub-programs, which is management, corporate services, financial administration, internal audit, and office accommodation. On management, we provide in the planning, the monitoring, performance, risk, and all the other management services and leadership that we need to provide. Under corporate services is integrated HRM, human resources, ICT, and security services. Financial administration, we provide all the financial and asset and supply chain services to the judiciary department, internal audit, overall internal and forensic audit services, and accommodation, the acquisition of the home for the judiciary. The strategic objective indicators. The first strategic objective is the percentage of the funded vacant posts on the PESAR system per year. The five-year target in terms of the strategic plan was a 10% or lower. The audited outcome 17-18 was 4.6%, which is 87 out of 1898. The estimated performance for the year 18-19, 10%, and the medium-term targets for the next 3 years from current is 10%, because the DPSA determination is that all funded vacant posts must be below 10%. The strategic objective, the second, is the ensure governance, good governance and administration in the department. And the audit outcome for the OCJ, the five-year target was the clean audit outcome. 17-18 audited outcome was unqualified audit on financial statements for the 16-17 financial year. This 18-19 estimated performance, unqualified audit for the 17-18 with no more than 5 material misstatements. Medium-term targets is a clean audit throughout the 3 years, which is 18-19, 20, and 21. Strategic objectives indicators. We are now breaking the annual targets into quarterly targets. On the first one, the vacancy rate, we will keep the 10% as already alluded to. The audit outcome for the 2019-20 clean audit outcome for the financial year, and then we will also ensure that we sustain that throughout the quarters in terms of monitoring to ensure that we obtain the clean audit. Program performance indicators. The third indicator relates to the annual performance plan, which is compliant with both the in terms of quality and also in terms of compliance on the requirements of submission. In the 3 years, you will note that we plan to make sure that we are compliant in all three. I will not repeat chapters through you where the information is done to save time. The fourth indicator, combined assurance plan implemented. In the first year, we're implementing 24 superior courts. Please read it as superior court service centers, not necessarily courts as such. And then in the MTF 1920 up to 22, we'll be maintaining that. The fifth indicator, number of strategic and operational risk registers that are reviewed and updated as per prescripts. We will ensure that all 8 of them are reviewed and updated. 8 meaning that one in every quarter for each strategic and the operational risk. The next slide deals with the sixth indicator, fraud prevention strategy implemented. And through the 3 years, the MTEF will ensure that the strategies implemented in the service centers, which are 24 in number. The seventh is the ICT Master Systems Plan implemented over the MTEF. In the first year, current year, we will prioritize the projects of the systems plan, Master Systems Plan, roll out in 5 service centers, and then we'll in 2021 move to 12 and to 24, which is cumulative over the MTF. The eighth indicator under Program 1, percentage of internal audit projects completed in line with the approved annual audit plan. And this is mainly also monitored by the Audit and Risk Committee, which is 100% of what is planned in the plan. The ninth indicator, number of compliant financial performance reports submitted within prescribed timelines. The MTEF targets all the 12 reports will be submitted as such. That includes, amongst others, your 30-day payments, the performance indicators, and budget and expenditure reports. The 10th indicator, number of asset registers produced in line with the prescripts. We are required to ensure that the register is produced every 6 months. That is 2, one every 6 months for all the MTF period. Now moving to the same indicators and targets for the quarters of 2019-20. In terms of the annual performance plan, I think I'm missing a slide here. Okay, it's fine. The annual performance plan does compliance with the prescripts and timelines, which is our 1920 target. In the first quarter will be the development of the draft. The second quarter is the first draft that goes to the DPME as well as Treasury. Third quarter is the second draft, and the fourth quarter will be the APP that is compliant tabled in Parliament in terms of all the relevant prescripts and requirements. The combined assurance plan implemented. The first quarter we will review the plan, the second quarter we'll implement in 8 service centers. The third quarter will increase to 16, and the last quarter, all the 24 service centers that we operate in. The number of strategic and operational risk registers reviewed and updated, as already indicated, twice a year we have to do that, and that's how it is spread in each quarter. 2 meaning one is strategic, one is operational. The fraud and prevention strategy implemented. In the 24 service centers, the first quarter will review the strategy, and the second quarter we will implement in 8 service centers, increasing to 16 and 24 in the last quarter. The ICT Master Systems Plan will, in the second quarter, ensure that the e-filing project, which is one of the main prioritized projects of the MSP, is in piloted, and then in the fourth quarter, all the prioritized project will be rolled out to at least 5 service centers. The percentage, number 8, percentage of internal audit projects completed in line with the approved annual audit plan, as indicated, is 100%, as monitored also by the Audit and Risk Committee. The 9th, number of compliant financial performance reports, we submit those every month and 3 every quarter. The number of asset registers already have indicated. I need not repeat that. Chapter 7. We move to the second program, which is the superior courts, and you will note that in the first program is really about the administration and the capacity of the department to support its mandate. Second program focuses on the superior courts. The purpose is to provide court administration services to the superior courts, and the program consists of the following sub-programs: administration of the superior courts, where we provide both administrative and technical support to these courts, monitoring the performance and enhancing judicial stakeholder relations. The constitutional court, where the activities and operation of the courts, which has jurisdiction over the constitutional matter and any matter that is of general public importance, are supported. The SCA, Supreme Court of Appeal, which adjudicates appeals in any matter arising from the high courts or similar courts of states of same status. The high courts, which have jurisdiction over the defined geographical areas, and the specialized courts, which relates to the labor court, the labor appeal court, land claims court, the competitions appeal court, and the electoral courts, which have the same status as the high courts. And these courts adjudicate over various types of matters excluded from the jurisdiction of the various high courts. The strategic objective relating to Program 2, the first is the percentage of, is the effective and efficient administration of the superior courts, and the indicator is the percentage achievement of the quasi-judicial targets. In terms of our five-year SP plan, it's 100%, audited outcome 2017-18 is 92%, and the numbers are in the brackets. And the estimated performance for 18-19 is 90%, and our MTF targets are 100% for each. Moving to the quarterly targets, the first being the achievement of quasi-judicial targets, 100% is already indicated. Second, monitoring reports on court order integrity project produced. The estimated performance 18-19 is 4 reports, which is sustained over the MTF. The third indicator, percentage of default judgment finalized by the registrars per year, 17-18 audited outcome was 89%, with the actual numbers in the brackets. And the 18-19, 90%, and the MTEF targets at 100% year on year. The fourth indicator, percentage of taxations of legal costs finalized per year. 17-18 audited outcome was 96%, with the actual numbers in brackets. 18-19 estimated performance 90% and 100% planned for the MTF year on year. The fifth indicator, warrants of release, the J1 delivered within 1 day of the release that issued. Audited outcome 17-18 was 98% with the totals in brackets. 18-19 estimated performance 98%, and the MTF targets was 98% year on year. Sixth indicator, number of case management workshops conducted for officials per court, which is 8, 17-18. 18-19 estimate performance 2 and for each MTF 2 per year. Yeah, I'm now moving to the quarterly targets. The number of monitoring reports on court order integrity project produced, which is 4-1 in every year, obviously. This relates to the project relating to the department in relation, in consultation or collaborating with other institutions monitoring this problem, which is happening in the court. The third, percentage of default judgments, we said 100% for the first year of the MTF and sustained over the year. Fourth, taxation of legal costs finalized in a year, also 100%. The fifth, warrant of release delivered within 1 day of the release issued, 98%. The sixth, case management workshop conducted for the court officials per year, 2-1 in each second quarter. We move now to the third program, which is the judicial education. and support. This program is focused with its purpose on providing education programs to judicial officers, the policy and research services to the department and the judiciary, and for the optimal administration of justice. Its description is that we provide this through three sub-programs, which are the Institute, which is responsible to provide the training for the judicial officers and aspirant judicial officers. The second being the Judicial Policy Research and Support, where we provide advisory opinions and services and policy services, undertake research, and offer legal support services to enhance the functioning of the judiciary. The JSC, we provide secretariat and administrative support services so that it can effectively execute its mandate. The program objective indicator is enhancing the judicial skills of serving and aspiring judicial officers to perform optimally. The objective indicator will be the number of education courses that are conducted per year in the strategic plan. It was 375, auditor 1718-91, and estimated performance 1819-78. And in the MTEF, the first current year is 18, next 82 and 84. The quarterly targets for the first indicator, judicial courses conducted per year. The quarters are broken into from 80 into 15, 35, 15 and 15, which is cumulative over the period. The second indicator, number of research monographs for judicial education produced per year. The estimated performance is 2 will be produced, and in the MTF 2 every year. The third indicator, percentage of legal advisor opinion and policy and research services provided within 15 working days of receipt. 17-18 was 100 and 18-19 100, and it will be sustained over the year-on-year MTF period. The fourth indicator, number of reports on judicial appointments and complaints produced, audited 17-18 year, three constitute of one in April, one in October, which is the sittings of the JSC, and the last third is the annual report. Estimated performance 18-19 is also 3, and the same for the MTEF. Now we break in the annual indicators and targets into quarters. Research monographs for judicial education produced will produce one on the second and the fourth quarter, which makes the 2. Advisory and policy research services is 100% through and through. The number of reports on judicial appointments and judicial complaints produced, 3, as already indicated. And how they fall into the quarter relates to the sittings of the JSC. May Honorable Chairperson ask the CFO to then deal with the financial part of the presentation on the APP.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The first slide dealing with the financials. On the left-hand column, the members would see that we are describing the expenditure patterns and also the budget for the MTF for each program. And then also, over and above the programs, we also make provision in our budget for the judges' salaries and benefits as legislated. That doesn't come from voted funds, but is defrayed from the direct charge or the National Revenue Fund. The first three columns under audited outcomes represents the actual expenditure figures, audited figures of the OCJ for the financial years 15-16, 16-17 and 17-18. The audited outcomes for those 3 years, just as a bit of background, in the 15-16 financial year, the Office of the Chief Justice spent 100% of its budget. In the 16-17 financial year, our expenditure was at 98%. And then in the following year, 17-18, which was the last audited year, we also achieved 100% expenditure in the OCJ. When we look at the current financial year, in terms of the financial statements that we've submitted, the 2018-19 financial statements, the OCJ once again achieved a 99% expenditure on its voted and direct charges budget of the in terms of the total budget, 99% expenditure. For the medium term moving forward, the 2019-20, the current financial year until 2021-22, the figures that we are presenting to the committee, on program one, it's 214 million. For the first year, 227 million for the next year, and 237 million for the outer year. On Program 2, which is the main portion of our budget, which represents almost 75% of the budget, 900 million for the first year, 965 million for the second year, and the outer year, 1.029 billion. Then Program 3, we are submitting an 82.9 million budget for the first year, 88 million for the second year, and the outer year is a 91 million budget. So the total voted budget for the department amounts to 1.197 billion in the first year, 1.281 billion in the next year, and in the outer year it's a 1.359 billion budget that we are submitting. Then on the judges' salaries and benefits, it's 1.098 billion for the first year, 1.18 billion for the second year, and the outer year 1.257 billion, which brings the total budget at the bottom for the department to 2.2 billion, 2.46 billion, and 2.6 billion in the outer year. The next slide, I just need to apologize to the members. The figures at the bottom, the total stating total economic classification, those figures somehow move to the right. So the figures at the bottom, we will present the amended slide. The total figures are exactly the same as the figures presented in the first slide on the finances. The content, however, is correct in terms of the numbers. So if we look at the budget economic classification, the first classification deals with your compensation of employees, and here we include the remuneration of judges. The history figures are there. The 15-16 up until 2017-18 is audited history. Those figures were the exact figures as audited. Then the 2018-19 figures are the ones that we've submitted in the current financial statements, 1.6 billion. Then for the outer years, these numbers increase to 1.755 billion, 1.865 billion, and 1.987 billion. On the goods and services classification, I'm only going to refer to the submission for the MTF period in the APP. The 2019-20, which is the current year, we are requesting 340 million. The second year, 358 million, and then the outer year, 379 million. Transfers and subsidies, this item mainly deals with your gratuities in terms of judges' remuneration and conditions of employment, where we pay the gratuities for the judges after 15 and 20 years of service, or when they are discharged at 70 with 10 years of service. These figures are 95 million in the current financial year, 127 million in the next financial year, and the outer year 136 million. Payment for capital assets for the department, 104 million in the current year, 110 million in the outer year, next year, and 113 million in the outer year. And as I indicated, the totals are the same as the totals in the previous slide. That deals with the slides on the financial.
Thank you. Chairperson and honourable members, through you, I'll proceed with the strategic key strategic risks for the 2019-2020. The program and strategic objective. The first st- strategic objective capacitated the Office of the Chief Justice. The strategic risk for 1920 is the inability to capacitate the OCJ. And this relates to the really the function, the financial aspects of ensuring that we are able to fund the mandate of the OCJ. And this inability poses a risk as the appointed judicial officers will not have the required support and the resources to be able to carry their functions. The OCJ supports the judiciary entrenching the rule of law, constitutional democracy, and requires the department is fully capacitated. The action plans that we have in place is the reprioritization of funds and posts, organizational functionality assessment, and realigning process that we are embarking to see how best we can focus the real support on the core business of the department. The second being the request for adjustment of compensation of employee ceilings with the National Treasury. As you would know, the COE is sealed, and we will attempt that. The second objective under Program 2 risk is the possible exposure to fraud and corruption. As the fraudulent opportunities increasing due to economic pressures and the increasing demands of the services rendered by the department, the action plans relating to that is continuous awareness on fraud and anti-corruption, strengthening the internal controls that relate to fraudulent court orders, as already alluded to, strengthening the monitoring and implementation of internal controls and monitor implementation of the fraud plan. The third risk relates to Program 2 and Strategic Objective Number 3, which is ensuring effective and efficient administration. And it relates to inadequate implementation of our ICT plan, which poses a risk, as there is a growing need for court services, and it is important for courts to adapt and move with the speed to modernize the court system and its processes. And court modernization will contribute to increased in-case finalization rate and reduce the time it takes for cases to be finalized. How we are mitigating the risk action plans. We're requesting additional funding from the Integrated Justice System, IJS, and Treasury for implementing the court modernization project, which we have received some of the funds. Additional appointment and training of ICT personnel, monitoring implementation of our agreement with the Department of Justice on the transfer and functions. The fourth risk relates under the same program and objective relates to the adequate quasi-judicial services. As we mature, the population become increasingly aware of their rights and interface more with the courts, and this places pressure on the limited resources in the courts and the system at large, necessitating that we further capacitate the courts and the judiciary. The plans, we're prioritizing the appointment of registrars as they are the first line of support to the judicial and or the adjudication function, and continuously training our registrars and the court staff, as you would have seen in one of our indicators and targets. The last risk, the fifth strategic risk, relates to Program 1 and Strategic Objective 2, relating to good governance and administration, is the lack of control over the security and facilities, which poses a risk as the security of the judicial officers will be compromised and the working conditions, health and safety also compromised. The action plans is that we monitor implementation of the updated MOU, engage with the Department of Justice to ensure the budget is spent on the OCJ priorities also, on those areas that lies on the transfer or retained functions. The last one, continuous monitoring of the facilities and infrastructure issues that are being encountered. Chairperson and honorable members, moving to the last slide, which is the delineation of functions and indicators and targets. You would have gleaned and discerned from the presentation that the APP of the OCJ relates to the administrative support that we provide to the courts, superior courts, firstly, secondly to the Judicial Services Commission, as lastly to the Judicial Education Institute. And all matters relating to the judicial functions as defined in the Constitution as well as the Superior Courts Act lies in the purview of the judiciary. And in the year 2016-17, a decision was taken that the judicial functions will be delineated from the plans of the department, and therefore the judiciary does have their own planning and reporting mechanism in place. That was pursuant to the engagement between the Chief Justice and the Minister, as already alluded to. And these indicators for information purposes, the 10 that were removed from our plans was the percentage of cases finalized in the Constitutional Court, firstly, secondly, in the Supreme Court of Appeal, thirdly, the number of cases in the High Court on the roll for 12 months, which is the backlog, the fourth, percentage of criminal cases finalized with verdicts, five, civil cases finalized, six, land claims court finalized, seven, labor court cases, eight, electoral cases finalized, nine, competition appeal cases finalized in terms of percentage, all of them. And the last one, the disclosure of serving judges, registrable interest, which are submitted within the timeline of 30 days after appointment. The judiciary and the heads of court committee, which is a committee chaired by the Chief Justice with the judges president of each and every division of the High Court and the specialized court, is seized with the responsibility, supported by the Office of the Chief Justice, the administration, to make sure that their planning and their accountability is given effect to. In the 18-19 financial year, the Chief Justice presented the first accountability report for the 17-18 annual report for the judiciary, and it has been published on relevant electronic platforms for access to the public. Chairperson and honorable members, I thank you. That concludes the presentation. Thanks.
Thank you very much, SJ. I would like to welcome the two members, Honorable Swart and Honorable Mlaudze. We did receive your apologies. And Honorable Newbold Drachen, who was out of the country, welcome back. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I will note questions, inputs, and clarity seeking questions. Honorable Janji, Honorable Hisham, Honorable Glenis, Betenzach. Honorable Ho, Honorable Swart, Honorable Mlaudze. I must say up front, I think we must mind the question of time because we are still, there are three presentations that are coming. We still have to be briefed on the information regulator. After that, we still have to be briefed by the parliamentary legal services on the processes that we must follow on the cases against Advocate Tiba and Mkhwebi. So I'll appeal to members to be as diligent as possible, but also mind time. Honorable Janji.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll follow your directive just to welcome and appreciate the presentation. Just to also say to the SG, I'm also missing the slide that you're missing. I hope you found it. It's 1.2, but there's a slide that starts from 1.3, where you were. So in the meantime, that's where you were also making the comment that there's something you're missing. I was also missing what you're missing, just to make the point. Maybe before I go to your presentation, Chair, to take advantage of your presence here, just about two comments from our work in Parliament, and I'm inviting you to comment on just these two points in relation to your office or department. We have been furnished with a kind of an assessment, a five-year trend analysis by Parliament, and there's just two comments I want to take out of that. I think the first one I want to deal with is what is in your risk register, and I must say I appreciate that from up to so far, that's the first department that is able which is very critical when you do that in your presentation. There's a view here that says, in terms of the budget constraints, that the OCJ has expressed frustrations with budget cuts and how they affect programs like the IT systems master plan. This is important as far as it relates to court modernization as a contributor to court effectiveness and efficiency. It seems in your risk, are you still carrying these frustrations as you come here? It would be very good that you speak to us about those frustrations, because they have been highlighted as part of the analysis. And the second point, just an update, and I will read again the point. It says, on the 27th of February 2019, the Chief Justice released a report which noted that as at 31st December 2018, there were a total of 87 judgments reserved for longer than 6 months since the date of last hearing. If you could comment on that, just as an update, is that situation still pertaining? Where are we, perhaps, on that? I will leave others here because of your directive in terms of time, but let me go to the presentation and the APP. The first point I want to get into, SG, is in relation to your planned vacancy. You seem to be comfortable with 10% or lower. And maybe the starting point that you need to share with us, as you sit here today, what is your vacancy rate as we hear? So that we look at the 10% or lower in relation to that. Because at 10%, once you get to 10, it's 10% or lower, but anything 10%, it doesn't mean that it's a good percentage. And so, for 3 years in the MTF, you're planning the 10% thing. I would have hoped an office of your size would really have planned lower than that. Hence, I think the question is, where are we now in terms of that vacancy rate, in terms of your office? I'll quickly skip that, Chair, and I'm trying to follow your directives. I've already made a point about the missing slide. Maybe to the CFO, I don't know. You said that the numbers are the same, and I'm not getting them to be the same. From the other page, and your total voted, as well as the total economy classification, the last, even if I take the MTF period, I don't get the same numbers, so I don't know where you get the same numbers in terms of the totals. So I need to follow you there, because this, from where I'm sitting, they're certainly they are not the same. So help me with that. And on the risk, SG, under your inadequate quasi-judicial services rendered, I'm just interested, because the prioritization of the appointment of registrars and their training. Because I only got your APP this morning, would not be able to have gone into the details. I hope the fault is with us here and not with you, because I was able to go through your presentation last night by the APP itself. Got it this morning. If it is in-house, we'll deal with that. I'm looking for what the kind of plan that you would have under the inadequate quasi-judicial services on the registrars. And then my last point, Chair. On the last slide of the risk, the lack of control over security and facilities. The monitor the implementation of the updated MOU contract engagement with the DOJ and CD to ensure budget is spent on OCG priorities. So I'm just trying to check is that being a risk, where are we on that, and what's holding this back in terms of that being addressed, if there's still a problem? Because it's you can put a risk anticipating that there will be problems. Is this pertaining as we speak, that it's a matter that you're not getting support on? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chanje. Honorable Hisham.
Thank you, Chair. Let me perhaps start off by congratulating the OCJ on the 2017-18 unqualified audit in particular, the first 5 years, noting the first 5 years of the strategic plan, as well as coming to the end of the first 5 years, as well as good progress that has been made. One notice from the annual report with regard to the fraudulent court orders. It seems to be at last nipped in the bud. Hopefully sustain that to all the courts. Of course, it prevails still at some of the magistrate courts, as one notices. I've got a few, just the first experience with the OCJ at this particular space. So bear with me, Chair. With three areas of concern, of course. And the first one is, of course, the oversight, especially Parliament's oversight on behalf of the people with regard to court performance, in particular at this stage for high courts. Now, we note from various instruments and documents provided to us in information, as well as those released by the OCJ itself, that the heads of court decided to delink the accountability and responsibility of the administrative office, that's the OCJ, from those relating to the court performance to be an exclusive judiciary of LEC, which is fine, but when it comes to assessing it, I know we have not been able to decide on the correct model, perhaps, how best to statistically report. Besides the release of the report, we noticed in November or December, which provided the public with some kind of performance statistics. But that's just a release. So the concern is, Jay, how does this committee assess such performance, relating to the high courts in particular, only for now? Because unless we settle that matter as quick as possible, later when other legislation for lower court comes, we have to have it in any event, notwithstanding that the eventual structure or administrative model will hopefully settle it, but certainly we can't wait for that. There should be some kind of interim mechanism, if I can put it that way, that provides for performance assessment specifically. And that relates to a number of issues, whether it's reserve judgments, etc. And my colleague Janke referred to, for example, the 87 judgments reserved for longer than 6 months, etc. But I'm looking at the mechanisms itself to monitor performance from this committee's perspective. Is there any update, is a question, on that matter, besides the release through the annual report as well as this special release to the public where it's not been processed by anybody, especially one would expect the parliamentary committee to at least have insight into it and to interrogate it before it's released, notwithstanding the fact that it is judicial read, which is fine. Somebody's got to at least interrogated on behalf of the people. That's the one. Secondly, Chair, coming to, of course, the norms and standards. Now, we know that the norms and standards in its implementation is very much dependent on a number of factors which sometimes beyond the OCJ, as one can observe, external factors, if I can call it that. Legal profession and so on. But just on the directives that has been given by the Chief Justice to date, just an updated report, if there's any, on how the norms and standards has been given effect to. And we're talking about just the high courts, not the lower courts at this stage. So one can interrogate that too in terms of administrative processes, whether there's sufficient administrative support for that, both from an IT perspective as well as compliance perspective. One would want to know what's the degree of compliance in terms of norms and standards, which also incorporates, of course, challenges for that matter. Maybe it's in the annual report, I have not just received it now. Chair, then, third one is, of course, relating to judicial governance and court administration model. From the information we've received is that towards the end of the year, past year, there was an effort by the Chief Justice and the Minister to come with some kind of model to settle this matter, which is in the making for quite a few years, since even the start of the OCJ, as I understand it. And keeping in mind, of course, Section 165(4) of the Constitution, and 6 for that matter, where 4 provides that organs of state must assist in and protect the courts to ensure its independence and its effectiveness in particular, which is the responsibility, as I understand, of the executive, so that we don't have an not the OCJ, that's a government department for that matter for now, but the Office of the Chief Justice in particular do not get confused by the public with regard to administrative responsibility instead of dispensing justice without fear or favour. In whatever research has been done with such models, we would be very interested to see progress on that, so that this committee gives its views on whatever shortlist you have come to. It would be interesting to see. That's one area, I think, which this committee will be besieged, and the OCJ as well as the DOJCD. The point I want to make is, certainly you cannot wait for the Justice Department. I think although the Justice Department and the Ministry would give political and policy director, the one who needs to lead that in terms of the Constitution is the Chief Justice itself. And one would want to get some kind of update is where we are. Notwithstanding the fact that pre this period there was elections and so on. Thirdly, Chair, on the area of the language of record, now we know there was some time ago a directive given out by the heads of court. I read somewhere the language of record is English for various administrative reasons, in certainty, etc. One would be interested to know what has been the progress in giving effect to that directive, both from in the enforcement as well as the responsiveness from the profession itself in courts. How's that been going? Especially the high courts, focusing there for now. Because the high courts normally set the trend in terms of practice notes when it comes to a new process, notwithstanding these improvements. Chair, lastly, from my side, we know the 3 programs for now, and we know the transitional process that the OCJ and DOJ is engaged with for the past few years, and we know the transversal responsibilities they have with each other with regard to infrastructure, security, and so on. Whichever way that matter is settled does not mean there's more resources, just to keep that into mind as a observation. But I want to come to the J1. In the target you were referring to, J1 warrants of release target. I assume you're referring only to the high courts for now, just a clarity on that one. Those stats or target you're referring to the high courts. So Thank you very much, Chair. And again, congratulations on a well accountability performance on the funds that has been allocated to the OCJ. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mohammed. I think let's be mindful of time. Let us not repeat ourselves. There are still many questions to be asked. Honorable, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll put my questions, Mr. Chairman, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Horn will note the answers. Thank you. There are some problems being experienced with tools of trade, particularly with regards to the High Court, so law reports, libel material, etc., and that function has not yet been transferred to the OCJ, as far as I'm aware. Could you just update us on the progress in this regard, please? Then the new Minister of Public Works, Minister De Ville, has called for inputs from, amongst others, court managers to inform her about the problems at court. She says the courts are a disgrace, she's quite right. For instance, the air conditioning at the Gauteng North High Court hasn't worked for about 20 years now. Has this input been provided, and is that an ongoing process, and what is the progress there? And there were some, just recently there were serious problems with the internal computer systems being down for several weeks. This caused huge problems. Has this been resolved? What caused it? And have measures been taken to ensure that it won't happen again? Then just briefly, please, can update on the status of the Mpumalanga High Court, which I don't think in my lifetime is going to be finished. And then there was a while ago, there was a newspaper report that the Office of the Chief Justice had jacked up the travel bill of $114 million. That's a staggering amount. I know that you disputed it. If you could just perhaps clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hahn.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. In the interest of time, I'll limit my input to one issue, and that's maybe just in addition to the issues already raised by the Honourable Mohammed. I was part of the parliamentary delegation to the Judicial Accountability Session in November last year, and I know the Deputy Minister was there as well. And it might just be my individual view, since I'm the only member now of this committee who were there, were you also there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, my apologies, Honourable Molawuti. And the Honourable Molawuti may add, but I think we must send the message back that although this was obviously a first, I don't want to say trial run, I think members of Parliament left there with a feeling of unease. I don't see myself as a person with a huge ego, but logistically speaking, we were not well treated. We were at first informed that we were to join certain members of the judiciary in a holding room, and after standing at the entrance of the holding room for about 10 minutes, we were then informed that there was limited space and only the chair of the portfolio committee would be able to join. And then we had to find our own way to the court itself where the session took place. And that's in terms of logistics, which I would think the department was sort of in control of. But then also in terms of the whole format, Chair, I think it is a message that must go out along with what the Honourable Mohammed has said, and that is that there will have to be at least a thrashing out of what the contents of a judicial accountability session should entail. So, for example, issues that one would expect as a member of parliament that the judiciary should account there was wholly absent, and in that regard one is mindful of the separation of powers and the independence of the judiciary. But, for example, there was no mention of judicial conduct
the way the judiciary is self-regulating in terms of complaints and discipline. There was no mention of the reports on the norms and standards. Others has referred to the issue with reserve judgments, and we know it's being taken up with candidates at the JSC. But then once you are on the bench, obviously the norms and standards, etc., needs to be enforced, so to speak. And then the Honourable Breitenbach has also referred to the issue of financial accountability regarding the travelling. So from my side, I think I would fail in my duty if I wouldn't say to the Office of the Chief Justice that I think one should carefully look at this, the format of these judicial accountability sessions. And I know the answer would be, like has already been said in the presentation, but there's a separation between operational issues for which we as the department are responsible for, and then other issues for which the judiciary itself takes responsibility. With respect, I don't think it is that simple. As long as the department is holding or is the custodian of public money, there can never be a strict separation of responsibility. And it is also the responsibility of the SG as the head of the department to have at least interaction where the way in which the judiciary deals with things has a financial impact or the use of public money is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, Honourable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. And again, my apologies for being late, and thank you for the presentation and our commendations again, as always, to the work that is done by the OCJ. We really appreciate the good work that is done under very difficult financial conditions. Just on page 15 of the APP, you refer to a 2017 Victims of Crime survey, which shows that the public satisfaction rate with the way courts deal with perpetrators has declined over 6 years from a high of 64.5% to 41.1% in 2017-18, and that the majority of households were dissatisfied with the courts when the courts, that they're too lenient with criminals, etc., etc. And you then indicate there that there are steps that the OCJ will take to raise public awareness on the role of the judiciary to prevent communities taking the law into their own hands. And I'd just like an update on those communication strategies. Obviously, we are seeing more and more public demonstrations, more and more people are demonstrating, and so it is a matter of great concern to us. Just give us an update on what you are doing in the medium term to enhance the image of the judiciary. And then secondly, whether, Chair, maybe this is a broader issue that has been raised by my colleagues, and that is the November accounting by the Chief Justice. We had one meeting in the last five-year term, if I remember correctly, with the Chief Justice as this portfolio committee and heads of court. Was it two? Two meetings. Chair, we might need to escalate this because I remember those meetings and I felt slightly uncomfortable with us as a portfolio committee meeting with the Chief Justice. It could be that the Speaker and us together should meet with the Chief Justice on occasions and the heads of court, where we then thresh out the accountability model and we further engage with the information that was given in November, the court stats, where we would then be able, because bearing in mind that whilst we respect the separation of powers, we are the ones that are appropriating the funds and that whole issue is still being discussed. But it is at the very least that this portfolio committee needs to engage via the Speaker's office or to have a meeting with the Chief Justice, because quite a lot of what you are raising here with the Office of the Chief Justice is matters that must be dealt with directly with the Chief Justice when it comes to accountability, court stats, court hours, backlogs. For example, we're aware of the, in our research document, of the backlogs of the RAF matters in the North Gauteng Court. These are massive backlogs. And when you're dealing with case management, that is in the Chief Justice's domain. So a lot of those issues we would need to deal with the Chief Justice, Chair, and that I would urge us as a committee
to explore ways that we need to put that into our diary. But from my side, thank you very much for the work from the OCJ.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mulaudzi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation, the SG. My clarity-seeking questions will come as follows. Yeah, I just wanted to know how far with the office of the OCJ in terms of the single judiciary system establishment in terms of Section 166 of the Constitution. The second question is about the challenges which was mentioned by the Chief Justice when we were in Braamfontein during the Judiciary Accountability Session on the 23rd November last year, which was raised by Advocate Breckenbach about the issue of tool of trade. When are they going to be transferred from the Department of Justice to the OCJ? The other challenge he raised, the Chief Justice, was the issue of ever-increasing workload. So do the OCJ have the plan or any contingency plan to assist this ever-increasing workload of the judiciary, so that we mustn't find ourselves the judiciary system collapse, while the report, the Chief Justice has already highlighted the report that they have an ever-increasing workload. The other thing which you want to know, which was raised again by the Chief Justice, was the establishment of the e-filing system. He said within 6 months. So we want to know how far with the establishment of the e-filing system, more especially for the superior courts. How far, if done, is done. If it's not yet done, when will that be done? Because we have a problem of a load of papers. The other thing is about the judicial accountability session, which Honorable Horn said. Yes, I concur with him that it was not true, maybe planned, because maybe it was the first time, but we have a reservation on that, because we thought maybe the office, the Chief Justice, or the Office of the Chief Justice will make sure that they come and brief us first, or they invite us first as a portfolio committee. We get that privilege to be briefed, because we are the one who must put oversight before you can call all the stockholders and all the other head of courts. We be given an opportunity to be briefed first, because sometimes when we ask questions, and we are like challenging him before the heads of courts, it doesn't look nice. So we will prefer that if we can be given opportunity in the next judiciary accountability session, that we be briefed first, or he came to Parliament, or we can be invited to the constitutional hill offices. Yeah, the issue of the buildings, Advocate Breckenbach said about the commitment by the Minister of Public Works, as she noticed, we won't repeat it. All court system building infrastructures, the majority of them are dilapidated. They are so in bad conditions, the air conditions are working. Some, they're even leaking. When it's raining, they don't work. So we would like also the OCJ to follow this to the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, how fast they can assist this court, more especially our high courts, in terms of air conditioning, because that's where we got most of complaints. So we also want to know about the statistic information about the reserved judgments, by the judiciary, because some of them, they were even reported to the Judiciary Service Commission. So how many and what are the plans to make them to be reduced in order to, judgment must be released as soon as possible, because we don't want the judgment to be reserved for more than 6 to 1 year, except if it's beyond the judge concern, beyond his control. So the issue of 114 million travels is a concern. We need a detailed report about that. Where was the OCG or the judges moving to with this 114 million for one financial year? So we sure can be opportune by giving a detailed report that where is this 114 to quantify the amount. On the 21st May 2019, the PENSALP report about the language discrimination in our South African courts. So we just want to know the development thereof in this regard. How did you respond on that allegations? We also have the issue of offline system in the High Court, which Advocate Brickenberg said is also a concern for us, because we are moving on the world of technology. So if you don't have a strong system which can be made to be fixed as soon as possible, because once the orders are piled, they're not typed, they're not printed, it has some consequences thereafter. So lastly, it's about the issue of practice directives by President Judge Mulambo in Gauteng courts, where now we have the outstanding of 6,000 cases backlog of RAF, which are staying on the table of the Deputy Judge President Lidwaba. So, and there is this new practice which is coming now, which we think, and the lawyers think, it will make a big backlog to be more than these 6,000 cases which are lying there. Sometimes, some they said they are 10 years old files. So we don't know what enforced this practice directive which has been introduced in Johannesburg and Pretoria Court by Judge President Mulambo. Okay, so the other issue we want to know is about the macro organizational infrastructure by DPSA, Alpha. The Mpumalanga Court, my colleague raised it, and the issue of the recruitment and the training of judicial officers. Why there is a delay in this regard? What are the reasons of delay in terms of the recruitment and training of judicial officers? The last one, Chairperson.
You did say last time before.
Yeah, that's the language. When we talk, we said the last one. Okay. No, the very last one. Acting Chairperson. Can we be updated about the Judicial Service Commission regarding the 6 months older or more reserve judgment? What is the view from the Judicial Service Commission? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mulaudzi, with your very long intervention there. Let me, as I hand over to the chair, welcome Tlagul, Pensy. We are at the tail end of our, so you're not late for the session, but welcome to be here. As I hand over to the SGN team, just to make the point that you do not necessarily have to be exhaustive in your responses. Some can get as written, so that you don't find it in yourself that you have got to answer for everything that we have interacted, but would need if there can be a follow-up on. You would have identified that some of the questions we're asking, we have smuggled them, they are not part of what you presented. We carried them in because we knew you were coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the guidance. That makes it quite easier. Allow me, Chairperson, maybe to start with the most difficult questions set. Oh, sorry. My apologies, Chairperson. I was following the person, not the chair. Sorry about that. Let me start with the most difficult one for this institution, as the Honorable Chairperson and members would know that we sit in a very unique position than our normal departments, where we serve the judicial branch. There's a series of questions, Chairperson, that sits in that space where we will not be able to give you direct answers. And that relates to, I'll just quickly brush through them so that we can deal with that. I'll start from the end towards where we started. The JSC 6 months and older reserve judgments, which are before the JSC when it does its business. As you know, normally the Chief Justice would have the report in the JSC, and those issues are raised there with the judges during those processes. That is the matter that resolved with them. And with regard to the issues of complaints, et cetera, relating to reserve judgments, there's the structures within the Judicial Service Commission, the JCC, Judicial Conduct, that deals with all matters relating to complaints that pertains to the judges in their space, and therefore it's part of those delineated process functions. Same with the practice directives. We've seen it in the media and the issues that were raised. The judge president of the division is seized with the matter. The issue of PENSARP and the language of record being English, there was an attempt to engage with the Chief Justice by the PENSARP, and they indicated that they will take the matter further with the Chief Justice so they can engage him on that matter. There was an issue also of the Judicial Accountability Session of November 2018. We note from the logistical arrangements the concerns that were raised by the members when they were arriving there, etc., and we will engage maybe with the Office of the Portfolio Committee so that we see where the issues were, so that going forward we can address them. And we tender our apologies for whatever that would have not gone according to expectations. With regards to content on the Judicial Accountability Session and what is covered and how it's dealt with from a content and substantive point of view, we have heard the members and will present that to the Chief Justice and the heads of courts. I think that will be covered in the request that is already, which I assume I am mandated to give to the Chief Justice, that the Portfolio Committee would like to engage. Chairperson and members, through you, if that's so, may I be corrected, but I will convey that to the Chief Justice with the issues that have been raised. The area relating to, yes, and the fact that the speaker is proposed that he be part of the meeting, may I be allowed to communicate that to the Chief Justice, if allowed, but the Chairperson will guide me. There were also areas relating to institutional model for the judicial administration, a model that has been on the pipeline for quite some time. I think you would have gleaned from the minister's pronouncement in the past that there is an interministerial committee of cabinet members that are looking at this matter, but I am not seized with the progress in that regard. And fortunately, the DM is here. He might be able to assist us in that. But that's how far I could take it. The norms and standards, I assume that relates to the judicial norms and standards. Their monitoring and evaluation is done by the Judicial Committee that is seized with that and will include it in those aspects that have been raised. The question on how does this committee assess the court performance reporting, also part of that which we have indicated, and I think it will be good that the committee engaged the Chief Justice and the heads of courts on that. What was the other? There was another issue on the. I think I missed something on the same issue. Was on the single judiciary, sorry. How far is the OCJ in terms of Section 166, the single judiciary? I assume the question, Chairperson and members, relates to the magistracy being part of the OCJ or in whatever format, organizational format. That is also a matter that is part of the institutional model, and I think the Deputy Minister is also here, might be assisting us on that part, because it's in a matter that is in the hands of the executive. I assume that I've covered all the aspects that relates to that broader view of where the judicial functions reside. I will deal now with the administrative side of things. The vacancy rate, the question was, where are we in terms of the 10%? The 10% is the determination prescribed by DPSA to say, keep it below 10%, then we're comfortable, otherwise it's just too high. Yes, yes, exactly. Currently, we have, at the end of March 2019, we have 2,099 posts, 1,947, 1,427 are filled and 152 are vacant. And we are talking vacant funded posts. That is 152 still below the 10% threshold. We're 7.2%. Yes, 10% is the threshold defined. Yes, thank you very much, sir. I'm told there's no missing slide, honourable member. I think me and you were confused by the numbering, but yes, we'll sort it out. Yes. The CFO will deal with the finance questions. I want to. There was a question around the ICT and our system being down, and the what are we doing about that? I think as urbanization does grow, our systems and infrastructure are not able to carry the weight which we are looking at with the current service provider that we have to make sure that we correct that. And the system is now back on track and we are dealing with those, and the judges also are monitoring on making sure that they are online going better. On the e-filing, the head of court administration will deal with that, but we are busy with the e-filing project, and he will explain where we are as we stand now with the e-filing implementation progress, and you would have seen in our APP the targets that we have there. Maybe whilst I look also, can I ask the CFO to deal with the finance questions and see how else other questions I might have missed? Yes. CFO?
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm going to deal with the financial questions. Honourable Member, my sincere apology. We will give a replacement slide on the second portion of the financials, which will be 100% correct. We've already sent it to the Secretariat to just replace your second slide on the figures. Then, on the areas of budget cuts, we have addressed it in a previous portfolio committee. I will go to the detail a bit later on. I just want to go to the previous presentations to see what the exact issues we were raising. Then on the issue of the 140 million, I think it was raised by a number of the honourable members. I think we need to put this into context. That is the total budget of the Office of the Chief Justice for travelling and subsistence. That includes all the travelling and all the accommodation and rental of vehicles for all the judges, all of the 2,000 officials in the organisation, as well as all the witnesses that are appearing in the criminal cases in the superior courts. When witnesses appear, they are sometimes scheduled for 4, 5, 6 days. Then we have to pay the travelling accommodation and the S&T for witnesses as well. So the 140 million is the total package for everything that we do in the organisation. Supporting the judges, paying for the JEC members when we have JEC sittings, So everybody that comes to these sittings are being paid from that same budget. Sajay, the training budget, when magistrates and judges are trained right across the country, all the training expenses covering accommodation, travelling, S&T is paid for from this budget. So actually a very small portion of the budget is really allocated exclusively for the judges. The main amount goes to the administrative support to all the functions that we render. And I think if you compare our travelling budget to other departments, you will see it's actually quite in line with what other departments spend. It's just the nature of our business. The other huge cost driver on our travel and subsistence budget is the rendering of and providing circuit court services across the country in the various provinces. That is one of the drives of the judiciary, to bring access to justice to people in the areas where they reside, rather than them having to travel to the main seats of the courts. So circuit court services are also serviced from travel and subsistence budget. The judge plus the administration needs to travel to all the areas where we have circuit courts, and that is also covered as part of the 114 million. In terms of the reporting, we did submit a comprehensive report back to the journalist, which was published. But I think it's important for the honourable members to understand the context, that it's not only the judge's travel, but it's the whole operation of the Office of the Chief Justice that is serviced from that budget. Let me quickly see if there's another financial question. Honourable members, I will also then deal with the questions on the infrastructure-related matters. I think as a background, I also want to explain that when the transfer of functions was done and determined by the Minister of Public Service and Administration in 2015, there were certain functions and budgets that were retained in the Department of Justice. Now, two retained functions was the issue of infrastructure provision and the management, capital management of infrastructure. So what it means is that all capital maintenance related issues and or the provisioning of new capital infrastructure like the Polokwane High Court, Mbombela High Court, remains a function of the Department of Justice and is budgeted for in the Department of Justice. The other retained function is the provision of security services. So all contracted guard duties as well as personal security services to judges, the budget and the function has been retained in the Department of Justice. So in this context, I then need to then brief the members on the general maintenance issues and the conditions of the superior courts. We have a committee between ourselves, Justice, and the Department of Public Works. We are a user, end user of these facilities, whilst Justice is the client of Public Works. So all our facilities matters need to be escalated from ourselves, the court managers, to the Department of Justice, the various regional heads in the provinces, and they then need to facilitate the maintenance and capital issues around the courts, the air conditioners that are not working. So we are a bit hamstrung in this area, because as an end user we don't have real muscle to engage with the Department of Public Works, because the budget and the function remains in the Department of Justice. We submit quarterly reports to the Department of Justice. We copy the Department of Public Works on the state and condition of each and every one of our facilities. Where we raise the matters, we indicate the consequences of the air conditioners that are not working, the lifts that are not working, the poor state of maintenance in general. So both departments are being made aware of this matter, and we then deal at the level of officials with these matters. Over and above that, the accounting officers have also established, the SG has established a bilateral now with the DG of Public Works, where these issues are addressed at accounting officer level as well, because we cannot always sit back and say, but this is the Justice Department budget and responsibility. We also then play a role in that to see what we can do in regard to that. Specifically on the Pretoria High Court air conditioning question that has been raised, Justice has now availed an amount. Public Works has started with a project, the assessment was done, the quotations or the tenders were received by the Department of Public Works, budget has been allocated, so hopefully soon the air conditioners in the North Gauteng High Court, the Pretoria High Court, will be replaced, and we will have solved that problem together with the other departments. On the issue of the Mpumalanga High Court on the state of the facility, it's something that Justice need to give feedback on. We are the users. I think if there's a question on the operations, my colleague or the SG can indicate then on the operations of the Mpumalanga High Court.
Thanks, Chairperson. The Mpumalanga High Court, as the CFO has already indicated, the judge president is in place and appointed, and the judges are still to be dependent and appointed or transferred, whichever case becomes the relevant position. The JP has operationalized the court in terms of opening the operations, not the official launch, which lies elsewhere. So it is, we are also assisting the JP to make sure the staff is in place. We have appointed some of the staff. If details are required, the head of courts can provide those. But we have, as the OCJ, working with DPW and Public Works, as the CFO has indicated, made attempt to make sure that the facility is used and is being resourced as required. Other issues are policy issues and the infrastructure at DPW level that needs to be attended to. The macro organizational structure is approved by the DPSA, the Minister of Public Service and Administration, before the last administration did approve the macro organizational structure. We have advertised the two positions of the DDG, and we will be engaging with the relevant executive authority to ensure that the process proceeds. So that has been covered. We will provide reports on other areas like the judicial delays in the judicial training of judicial officers. And I will ask the head of courts to cover the areas relating to judicial functions as well as related matters on the courts. Nati.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, SG. I think I will deal with the issue of e-filing, which is the main issue. The Chief Justice did indicate that it was supposed to be piloted within 6 months. That was well in plan, but what has caused the delay is that you know that for litigants to file, you file according to the rules, and if you change the system into electronic system, you need to then amend the rules so that they are in line and they allow you to be able to file electronically. So that process has not been finalized to amend the rules to align them to the e-filing, but it's well in advance, and we're hoping that by the end of this month or early next month, those rules would have been, at least the draft would have been finalized. But what the judiciary has decided to do is that there is a portion of the e-filing which does not require that, which is how the evidence is presented in court. So that portion will be piloted in the identified court started this month, but towards the end of the month, hopefully, we will then, that is called the case line, which basically deals with how litigants will be able to present the evidence in court in an automated way, and how also judges will be able to interact with each other using that system. So that is well in advance. The SG has covered all the judicial functions relating to the reserve judgments and other issues that are not within our purview. But I think for the record, the judiciary has decided that all the reserve judgments are being published on the website of the Office of the Chief Justice,
and the next one should be published next week. So you can always track the performance in terms of what has been published on the website.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. The last comment that we'll make is on the budget cuts and the frustrations and the constraints. I think ours are no different from other national departments where the budgets are beginning to dwindle given the economic situation as well as the cuts. It looks like we are bracing ourselves for the next cut of the budget, which will be confirmed by Treasury, which could cut our budget by 29 million. In the next cycle, so this will have an impact obviously in our operations, but when that is confirmed, probably we'll deal with that at the appropriate time. Thank you, Chairperson. The rest of the issues that I might not have covered at all or insufficiently, we will provide the written answers through the Secretariat. We thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thanks. Just the issue, I mean, I thought we had dealt with it a bit in when the Department of Justice did its input, but yes, as the Secretary General has said, the court administration model still has to be finalised. There's a proposal from the Chief Justice for the judiciary to administer the courts effectively. There was a interministerial committee set up which was chaired by the Deputy President in the last administration. Obviously, we're in a new administration now, but from our side, we're ready to present to the executive on proposals on that model. So at this stage, then, the OCJ is just administering the High Courts and the DOJ, the Magistrates Courts, the lower courts. I had asked, I can't resist, sorry, slipping this in, I had proposed to the SG and the CFO that they take over, this was a couple of years ago, that they take over the administration of the magistrates, so not the courts themselves, but the magistrates. They had complained, and we in fact had a meeting on the issue where they complained they didn't have capacity. I'm not sure what the position is now. That was basically that they deal with all the administrative issues relating to the magistrates, travel claims, all those kinds of things. There is legislation far advanced on which I'd also I think spoken about on Tuesday or Wednesday on redoing the Magistrates Court Act and redoing the Magistrates Act, and that is quite far advanced. I do think, though, as part of the model, I mean, I'm interested in the inputs, particularly from Mr. Horn and Advocate Mulawutsi, because I think the whole issue of accountability becomes a question. With the magistrates, we're still able to get the statistics about performance and then raise issues with different role players regarding things that may be relevant. The NPA, for example, who are the people in criminal matters who decide which court the matter goes to. So I do think it's something also that the Portfolio Committee should engage on. Just on the issue of if I may make a suggestion on inviting the Chief Justice, I would want to suggest that comes, Chair, from yourself and the Speaker rather than something the SG conveys on your behalf. It's a sensitive issue. In the past, I think this Chief Justice has been to the Portfolio Committee. Previous Chief Justices have been, Chief Justice Chaskelson and Chief Justice Langer in particular. I remember when I was a member of this committee listening to Chief Justice Chaskelson, and he was quite adamant that he wasn't being summoned, he was just coming to share views. So, you know, there's a bit of a sense that, I mean, the judiciary doesn't account to Parliament, basically, or can't account to Parliament, is the important issue. That was when I think the judges were less involved in the administration. But my suggestion would be that, obviously, the SG must give a report to the Chief Justice, but the actual communication around his engagement with this committee come through yourself and the speaker, and you're both members of the JSC, so that may be an appropriate place.
Okay, no, thank you very much. I think the suggestion by the Deputy Minister, it's how we have been handling the matter. We discuss issues of mutual interest. That is how we couch it. We are going to follow up with the Office of the Chief Justice just to get a date so that we discuss those interests those issues of mutual interest. I think that is how we should approach it. Because we are also interested in this oversight model issue, because it does also affect the type of information we receive to do our oversight work. In fact, I was talking to one member just before we started with our meeting that it's a very difficult engagement to have. It's not like we're doing an oversight on other departments. So we would really need to engage on some of those issues. It's a new area, it's a developing area. We are quite aware of that, but it's work in progress. Thank you very much for the presentation. But like as Mr. Janji, Honorable Janji has said, the target generally, as far as possible, should be zero vacancy rate that are funded. We can't be construed to be just doing malicious compliance, because that's 10%, we want to keep it there. And there are many people that we think that are qualified and can be employed with high unemployment rates, so we can't justify it. So we should, our target should be zero. Thank you very much, colleagues. Thank you very much, SG and your delegation. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. The meeting stands adjourned, this part of the meeting. Yes. Yes, then we'll have 2 minutes, not five, 2 minutes, just to accommodate the coming in and moving out of people.